Hey, I'm back. I probably sound a little different than I did just a second ago, but everything should work out fine. My name is Jonathan. I want to welcome everyone this evening to the People Speak. This is a virtual auditorium on Pal Talk, where we bring very important guests into the forum, and we probe their minds for information. And I know that there are a lot of people in here who are very familiar with tonight's guest, very familiar. If you have any knowledge at all about the documentary entitled In Plain Sight, then you'll be very familiar with our guest. And one of our guests is Dave Von Kleist. And he's also associated with a terrific radio program called The Power Hour, which is very, very, very good. I really appreciate the way that this person presents the information, because it's almost like a courtroom. And it's very important to keep it that way in order to bring the truth to light. So I want to welcome everyone today. Our guests tonight are going to be, as I just mentioned, we have David Von Kleist and Joyce Riley. David, are you with us? Can you hear me?
Indeed I am.
And Joyce, are you there as well?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. I haven't met Joyce. I haven't talked to you. How are you doing, Joyce?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Good, good. We have a community here, Dave and Joyce, it's growing as we speak. It kind of fluctuates. It'll peak. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear you directly, and they are friends with each other for the most part. They are very well informed. They read a lot. They do a lot of stuff on the internet. They're right along the lines of any free thinker, and they're going to have questions later on for the both of you, and hopefully we can get that across to you, and you can let us know what's been going on. Now, as far as the current situation and 9/11, I want to dive into that immediately, because that's very, very important to me personally, and it's very important to a lot of people in this room. What is the current status of the current 9/11 investigation?
Well, at the moment, there is no official 9/11 investigation. That was concluded when they released the 9/11 Commission report. And this is what the point of contention has been with so many researchers in the 9/11 community, and why this is so appalling that so much information was either omitted or censored or deleted from the original 9/11 investigation. I mean, I think that everybody knows at this point that they didn't have any desire to get to the real truth about anything. I mean, they never even brought up Building 7. If you recall, when they were setting up the commission, the first chairman that they put in place was Henry Kissinger, and that lasted for about 24 hours.
Oh, that was an automatic conflict of interest.
Exactly.
Ridiculous.
Exactly.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So as far as, you know, having a continuing investigation, officially there is no investigation, but there are many people that want a reopening of the 9/11 investigation, and this time have it done by truly independent researchers and people that are not influenced by any corporate dollars or government officials.
Well, how do we address, this is a question for the both of you, how do we address the Keene Commission mentality, the recent film that came out about Flight 93? How do we address and how do we quash this complacency about what is so obviously missed? Something's wrong with the Flight 93 event. Something is obviously, the movie is presented as fact, and we know the people on the ground in Shanksville saw something totally different. You know, you can't have an 8-mile debris field with a plane that is flown into the ground. It just doesn't happen.
Well, absolutely. And as they say, I think it was Joseph Goebbels, Adolf Hitler's propaganda minister, that made the statement that a lie told often enough will become the truth, and the greater the lie, the more apt the people are to believe it. And so that applies in so many respects to the events of September 11th. We've been told over and over and over and over again that it was 19 Arabs, extremists, hijackers, etc., etc. In fact, when we reviewed the video clips that we had from 9/11, We went back, and I remember, as a matter of fact, I remember the day that it happened. Joyce and I were on the air doing a program, and while she was talking, I was listening to the monitor on CNN and flipping back and forth between MSNBC and Fox, and then when I took the broadcasting baton, she was flipping around, and I found it rather incredible that while the mainstream networks were still debating as to what kind of plane had hit the North or South Tower, when we were watching both towers smoking, and they were going back and forth. Was it a commuter plane? Was it a tourist plane? Was it a cargo plane? Maybe it was a commercial airliner. They didn't know for sure.
Yeah, Fox News as well. Fox News covers that as well.
But I found it rather curious that ABC News and MSNBC News almost simultaneously, I believe it was at 9:38 and 9:36 respectively, they both began running the same file footage of Osama bin Laden with a gun, Osama bin Laden with a walkie-talkie, Osama bin Laden with walking with a stick, Osama with a walkie-talkie, with the gun, walking with the stick, with the gun, with the stick, with the walkie-talkie, gun, stick, walkie-talkie, Osama, and they were both doing it at the same time. They didn't know what kind of plane it was, but they were sure that it was Osama and the Taliban, and this is where the programming began, if you'll know what I mean. And the same thing could be said about the Flight 93 issue. This is why when we went on the air, we told our listeners, whatever you're doing, run to your VCR and put a blank tape in, because we knew doggone well that many of the live reports would never be seen again. And this is why 9/11 in plain sight has gotten so many people so very upset, because the story that's presented, and not from what I'm explaining, or not from my spin, or not from my assessment, or not from my theorizing, the story that is presented from the video and photographic evidence itself, and the questions that they raise, challenge the official story that terrorists hijacked planes at all. So, and this is the controversy that's been boiling for the past year and a half since 9/11 in plain sight.
Was it September 27 of 2001 when the 19 names were released? Only like 16 days, I think it was 16 days after the event, they marched to the forefront, 19 faces with 19 names, and then they mixed in with that the already introduced Osama menace and the short clips that were shown of Osama over and over and over again. It was a predisposed thing. They did this, in my opinion. It was all part of the programming. And then when they brought out these 19 names, I think it was on September 27th, that anybody with a free-thinking mentality would already automatically have a red flag that would come up. How can the FBI know those 19 did it? And if they did know who they are, why didn't they stop them?
Well, the other question we have to ask is if 15 of the supposed 19 hijackers were Saudi Arabians, why did we bomb Afghanistan? I mean, why not bomb Peru or Norway?
Or Jamaica.
There you go. I mean, why?
Costa Rica, yeah.
Yeah, Costa Rica, sure. You know, see, this is why, you know, so much of the official story doesn't make sense. And when we get into these issues about what happened with Flight 93 or Osama bin Laden, if we recall, in the past several years, occasionally we hear about a new videotape with Osama bin Laden. Now, a few years back, there was one videotape that was released, and the supposed Osama was sitting in a room, and he was discussing things with some other people. And this particular Osama looked a little overweight. His face was a lot fatter than the other Osamas.
The African Osama.
The African Osama.
Yes.
And then when he held up his right hand and sort of waved it like what he was talking, you look at his hand, and he had a ring on his hand and a wristwatch on his hand. Now, the real Osama wouldn't be wearing any jewelry at all because it's forbidden by his religion.
It's possible that the real Tim Osman may have as part of one of his operations.
Yeah.
It's possible.
And then at one point, he has a pad of paper, and he's signing it with his right hand. Osama bin Laden was supposed to be left-handed. So now we have to question whether or not these videos that we're getting are valid and whether or not they were created. Now, if they created it, and a lot of people after examining it have no doubt whatsoever that it had to have been created, it could not have been Osama, and yet it was presented as Osama. Now we take a look at some of the transcripts that they've been talking about. Of course, the Massawi trial is now over. He's been convicted to life without parole as of today. And over the past couple of weeks, they've been discussing the transcripts of the voice tapes that they had. And I found it rather curious that they were reading from the transcript, and here's one of the hijackers screaming at the passengers to get down, sit down, get in your seats. And then the hijacker turns to speak with his fellow hijacker. Now, before we talk about the transcript anymore, common sense question. The hijackers were screaming at the passengers in broken English. If a hijacker is going to talk to a fellow hijacker, would he speak in broken English, or would he speak in his native tongue? I think we both know common sense would tell us that he would speak in his native tongue. And yet the transcripts were in English. So this doesn't make sense. Then there's the issue about the phone calls. They had Betty Beamer on with what's his name? Larry King, two nights ago. And, of course, she's the mother of Scott Beamer, who supposedly gave her a telephone call on his cell phone. Now, that call was very curious indeed.
Is that the hello, Mom, this is Scott Beamer?
That's exactly.
Yeah, who in the world would address their mother with her full name?
Well, exactly. You just say, hello, Mom, that's it. You know, or this is Scott. But who would say this is Scott Beamer?
Well, you know, the analyses that we make from these angles when we discuss the possibility of a cell phone call being able to successfully be transmitted from an altitude of 35,000 down to 8,000 feet, when we look at it from these angles, the spin that we confront, and it's kind of expected, is that the obfuscation and the spin that hits people that ask those sorts of questions always points to the official word. You know, it's been put in print. It's been released as official news documentation of conversations between this flight attendant and this operator, or this person and their mother. And when it's really a difficult thing to get around for most people when they are confronted with the possibility of voice morphing or the possibility of some sort of staged add-on to that day's false flag operation.
Well, we know that the technology has been available for the Department of Defense for years, where they can take samples of a person's voice, and they don't need a whole lot of this person's voice, but once they've got samples of the voice, they can recreate that person's voice into a conversation to say just about anything. And this is covered and documented in the U.S. Army War College document from 1994, A Conflict Short of War, A Revolution in Military Affairs. And so we know that this technology is available. But all the things that we're talking about, you know, whether or not there was the real Osama in a videotape or not, or whether or not Scott Beamer was really on the cell phone call, or whether or not the transcript is accurate, all this stuff is not hard evidence. The hard evidence is when we get into physical evidence and photographic evidence. And this is why 9/11 in plain sight has gotten so much controversy going up, especially within the 9/11 truth community. And the issue here that we bring to the table that is unique to many of the other investigations is the issue about the pod and the flash. Now, those two issues have been boiling with a debate, and I believe that this issue with the flash is the dead, stinking, decaying elephant that is lying in the living room of the 9/11 truth movement.
And for those who are not familiar, for those in our virtual auditorium who are not familiar with that, visual of different multiple camera angles, different sources showing what appears to be an unusual pre-collision arc of light that is definitely bright enough to carry that far down to the cameras on the street in a bright, sunny September day. Obviously, a very luminescent event.
Yes, and I should describe it for those that have not seen it. And if you haven't seen it, you really need to, and you need to think long and hard about it. If you think back, we all remember the main clip that it was carried on CNN, where the South Tower was right in front of you, and the plane comes in and flies as if it flew over your left shoulder and goes right into the building. We've all seen that. And there have been stills of that photograph that were plastered on the front page of newspapers coast to coast, and in magazines coast to coast, and in books documenting photographically the events of September 11th. Now, that video clip came from CNN, and for those of you that think that we doctored video footage or manipulated it in any way, please don't believe me. Just go to Barnes & Noble or Borders or Amazon.com and order yourself a copy of America Remembers from CNN. And if you go to 7 minutes and 35 seconds in their program, you will see exactly the same clip that we put into the 9/11.
And that's a digital rendition. That's actually a digital DVD quality presentation
exactly.
As well. Yes.
And when we examine that frame by frame, there raises a question. There appears to be something rather large attached to the belly of the plane. And just before, and I emphasize before the plane slams into the building, there is a bright flash that is seen just to the right and below center of the contact point of the fuselage.
Now, there is something that we have to interject here, is that witnesses on the street will have conflicting reports from their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Some will see a 500-mile-an-hour jet very, very clearly if they're looking in that direction when they see it approach before they hear it. Because it's traveling close to the speed of sound, you're going to hear it after it passes.
Right.
So those who looked up at the very last second, they probably weren't able to focus in time to see anything other than a large jet crashing into that building.
That's correct.
And they will stand up and say that's what they saw. That's another obstacle that's in play here. Even in people that see it on the TV, that saw it on television live, they didn't see this flash. They didn't have their focus on that point.
There was no way that anybody could see it live. It happened so quickly that even when you watch it and look for it in the CNN clip, it's only there for about 3 frames. So, I mean, it's only bang and it's there and it's gone. The point is that when you look at it in slow motion, then things become very clear.
Well, the fireman film that the fireman did does in real time show a flash. You can see the flash in that particular angle.
Right, that's the Naudé Brothers film.
Yes.
That's the clip of the North Tower being hit by the plane that was reported to be Flight 11. Now, here's the kicker. If this flash is as we see it, and if it occurs before the plane slams into the building, we have to ask what would have caused it. Now, we've shown this, and we've had on our program several military people, and we've had a whole bunch of airline pilots. One of the experts we had was Colonel George Nelson from the United States Air Force, with 30 years' experience identifying aircraft and aircraft parts. Now, he and every single airline pilot that we've interviewed, including Neela Sagadevan, who was a commercial airline instructor, and also we had on our program a 33-year veteran from the Department of Defense and Missile Guidance Systems. And by the way, you can hear that interview if you go to our website, thepowerhour.com, and scroll down to the little box in the center of the page. It says, Must Listen, August 8th Interview. And you will hear Colonel George Nelson and our friend from the Department of Defense both agreeing that after examining the photographs and the video footage contained in 9/11 in plain sight, they've come to the conclusion that the planes were not commercial aircraft and could not have been commercial aircraft. The flash could not have been caused by a reflection from the sun because, number one, it was on the shaded side of the building, and number two, it was seen from 4 angles simultaneously. Rule out reflection. They also agreed it could not have been sparks from the fuselage hitting the building, and for one very good reason. The flash occurred 6 to 10 feet to the right and below center of the contact point. Rule out sparks. They also agreed it could not be a static discharge for the same reason it couldn't be sparks. The static discharge would have occurred at the point of impact, not 6 to 10 feet below and to the right of center of the fuselage. The only possibility left is something incendiary in nature that caused the flash. And that's where the pod comes in, because the pod is directly in line with the flash. Now, no one can say what the pod is. I don't know what it is. But there appears to be something attached to the belly of the plane, and just that alone raises the question, if this was a commercial airliner, surely somebody at Logan Airport would have noticed this huge object on the plane's belly. So that leads us to the question, where did that plane come from? How could it be a commercial airliner? And what caused the flash? Now, these questions alone blow out of the water any contention of a terrorist hijacking. That means the entire terrorist hijacking issue is a rabbit trail that so many people have gone down. And this is what is so controversial about 9/11 in plain sight. And until we get a satisfactory explanation or an alternative theory that is in line with the terrorist supposition, we are going to stick by our guns, despite the heat that we're taking. But I do believe it to be the dead elephant that's in the 9/11 Truth Community living room.
Well, another thing that seems to be unusually ignored in the Kane Commission report was the collapse of Building Number 7 at least the acceleration of gravity. Obviously a sound structure from viewing it, with a couple of small fires on a couple of floors, and it fell in its own footprint into a symmetrical heap at a speed which cannot be explained away in Newtonian terms without some sort of assistance that removed the resistance and allowed the building to free fall. And the Kane Commission didn't even mention Building Number 7. So that's what I'm hearing. What I want to share with you as far as some of the input I've been getting from different directions, we do have some feedback in the virtual chat room, not necessarily playing devil's advocate, but the usual what you would expect when you bring about some of these ideas that are totally counter to what we've been told, is that you're trying to make money. You know, we're doing this program right now as a service to the people in this room and as a service to those who listen. I don't make money doing this. If you have operating costs and you have a living to actually have to make, then if you donate all of your time to a cause, you can't do it and be broke at the same time. It's impossible. So I noticed that we've had some feedback from our forum in that particular direction, and it's a neat little attempt to divert the discussion away from some of these obvious anomalies on
that
day.
Yeah, I'll address that. That's not a problem. I mean, there are those out there that would say, well, if you really cared about an issue, you would be giving them all away, and you'd be living out of the back end of a Ford Pinto, and that's how you prove that you're a real patriot, okay? I'm sorry, but it costs a lot of money to be able to be on, to continue our radio show, the Power Hour. I mean, the Power Hour produced this video. It's a Power Hour production. And our expenses to broadcast on international shortwave and on AM and FM stations, I mean, we're approaching somewhere, I don't know, $20,000. About $15,000 a month. And that's just to pay for the airtime.
Oh, that's pricey, too. That is
no
pricey.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
No kidding. And the point here is that it costs a lot of money to do this.
Yes.
So I mean, it costs a lot of money to for the licensing fees of some of this footage. I mean, we had to pay nearly $18,000 for 52 seconds of footage we had to get from a company called Camera Planet in New York City. So, I mean, if people think that we're supposed to, you know, go on the broadcast, we're supposed to produce a high-quality documentary film, which now, by the way, has been translated into 5 different languages. It's been aired on Australian television from coast to coast. And like I said, the expenses are tremendous, and we continue to give free copies away to any law enforcement, any military, any of the 9/11 surviving families, any firefighters in New York City. And we give them away to elected officials that simply ask for it, people in the media that simply ask for
it. And as a matter of fact, not to interrupt, but as a matter of fact, it's come to that time in the program where we are also going to offer 9/11 in plain sight to someone in this virtual auditorium. And this is a free giveaway, a free gift from our guests tonight. And that tells me right there that the purpose of what people like you are doing has nothing to do with vanity at
well, not only
all.
That, but we also encourage people to make copies and give them away. Now, if I was so lusting, if I was had such a lust for money, I'd be telling people, oh, you can't do that, there's copyright this and copyright. No, my concern is not to get rich and get notoriety. I could care less about either one of those. My concern is to somehow avert a global thermonuclear catastrophe, because the rest of the world has seen this footage, and they're asking and screaming these questions, and I can't help it if some people are just too scared to even face this, and not only that, but they'll condemn anybody who has the unmitigated gall to ask a question that is outside of their particular paradigm.
Well, not just fear, it's also a case of not confronting the potential fear. It's a preemptive thing, you know. If you learn too much and you don't actually carry it forward in a way that is something that makes you feel more empowered, then you'll be trapped in the fear of the thought of a imperial global, you know, a dominant government, an administration that is bent on global hegemony, basically. mostly to do with the dollar value and the oil market. The dollar, of course, is the prime moving currency for oil. And to actually turn and look into the darkness and to admit to yourself that if you do an analysis of the timeline and you do an analysis of the evidence that is available, you have to come to a conclusion at the minimum that the official story is not true. And if you go from there, then if you don't pursue it in a forthright way, you'll be trapped in the same fear that they want you to have.
That's what we call thinking inside of the cage, not the box. A box you can get out of. A cage is locked. And the mainstream media and government officials have very carefully prepared cages for every single one of us to remain in. And anybody that tries to break out of it is immediately seen as some kind of anti-government, right-wing, left-wing, extremist, neo-Nazi, skinhead, kook, wacko, whatever. Okay.
Fill in the blank.
Yeah, fill in the blank. So, you know, we encourage people to think outside of the cage. You know, it's really interesting. The USA Today a couple years ago did a poll, and we've all seen the poll on the front page in the lower left corner. They asked the question, whom do you trust? At the bottom of the list was the federal government with a 6% approval rating. That means 94% don't trust
94%.
The federal government.
Sounds similar to the 17% Dick Cheney approval rating.
There you go.
I would rather address it as a disapproval rating. I think we should flip those numbers around and have
That's
the bigger
right.
number up on top.
And the media only got a 24% approval
24%.
Rating, which means 76% don't trust them. So here's the no-brainer think outside of the cage question. If 76% of Americans don't trust the media and 94% don't trust the federal government, ladies and gentlemen,
who can you trust?
You get all of your quote official information.
Exactly. You can't. Who can you trust? Dave and Joyce, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to. We have a trivia question that's ready to go here. It's going to be a speed round, basically, because we've already mentioned the answer a couple of times in this program so far. So those who've been listening are going to know what the answer is, and whoever can jump in there first, we have a moderator that's watching closely. The first person in the text version of this audio virtual auditorium will receive a copy of the DVD in plain sight, courtesy of Joyce and Dave, and it's very much appreciated. So when we come back, before the questions from the audience in about 10 or 15 minutes, I want to get your take on where the two of you were on September 10th, 2001. What were you doing at that time, and what's the difference between then and now? We'll take a quick public service announcement break. When we come back, we'll come back and do the giveaway, put the question in the room. The first person to answer will get a free copy of the film 9/11 in Plain Sight. Excellent film. And we'll be right back in about, let's say, 30 seconds or so.
This is Howard Zinn. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced false news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured, targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, we're back, and Dave and Joyce, what we just, the public service announcement we just played has been repeated from several people here lately, talking about the impeachment of George W. Bush for all of the things that have been happening lately. There seems to be some sort of a movement in that direction. Hopefully that can open up some sort of an avenue where we can ask the serious questions of these officials under oath and get to the answers that we seek. I want to welcome everyone back to the room. Right now, get your trigger fingers ready. Dave and Joyce, are you still with us?
You betcha.
Good. Get your trigger fingers ready, people in the text version of the chat room. The question, you should know the answer. So this is going to be a speed test, okay? Here's the speed test. Joyce Riley and Dave Von Kleist host a radio program that's sent globally on shortwave. The first person that can tell me the name of the program is going to receive a free copy of the DVD, 9/11 in Plain Sight, and you can PM our friend Mesta in the room, and she can give you the information. You can get information to her on how you can get this particular DVD. We do have a winner, And Dave and Joyce, they jumped in here immediately. The power hour is all over the screen, instantaneously. They all know. These people are informed. Let's get back to what we were talking about before the break, what the two of you were doing on September 10th, 2001, what your work involved at that point as far as getting information out to the general public. What station in life were the two of you at on September 10th, 2001?
Well, I'll take that question. I think we were pretty much at the stage of, oh, gee, we're going to have to do something someday because things are serious in this country with respect to taking away our liberties. I think the day before September 11th, we were a lot more complacent, a lot more comfortable, a lot more deluded than we are right now. But you see, on September 11th, I didn't see it. I think Dave started to see it pretty soon because that morning of September 11th, and I'll let Dave say it for himself, but the morning of September 11th, he smelled something wrong. And Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell him what you believe? Because, I mean, I was just kind of like, well, every morning we get up, we do the news. We talk about, gee, we're going to have to do something, and we're going to have to stop these people from doing what they're doing. And then this happened, and then Dave had the appropriate response.
Right. At that time, the Power Hour was not a three-hour broadcast. It was a two-hour broadcast, and we went on the air at 8 o'clock Central. That's 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And at that moment in history, the South Tower had not yet been hit. Now, we were getting ready to go on the air, and we were monitoring CNN. We saw that the North Tower was smoking away. It was like, oh, my God, look at what's going on here. And we're getting ready to go on the air, and I'm looking at my network clock, and I've got 5 seconds before our mic goes live for the top of the hour. And 4, 3, 2, 1, bang, our mic went live, and I said, ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, run to your TV and put a blank tape in your VCR if you've got one. Start taping any network you can. America's under attack. Because I knew that the same thing was going to happen, and I would suggest to all of your listeners that whenever there's a major event, and I'm not talking, it doesn't just have to be something blowing up. I mean, anything. Somebody speaking live. Whenever, it's always good to have a tape in your machine, and if you're watching news live, always run the tape. You can always rewind it and tape over it. You never know what you're going to catch.
But in today's today's technological advancement in this world, you can also, there are ways to actually get a video card that plays TV as well, so you can plug your cable television into your computer and record in a format, whatever pleases you. It can be a big file, it can be a small bit rate, and it's instantaneous, and it's very good quality. It can be cut into clips and shared with others on the Internet. A lot of people are doing that. They're leaning more now toward talking head babble. Who said what? He said this. What's Rove up to? What are they up to? Very political. It's a way to not have to address what we have talked about earlier, some of the things that happened on that day, which defy logic, given the official story.
Well, let's go back to 1995. I mean, on April 19th, the Murrah Building was destroyed. Now, a lot of people that lived in Oklahoma City were doing exactly what I told our listeners to do. When they found out that the Murrah Building had blown up, a lot of folks threw tapes in their VCRs and were recording, and thank God that they did. And this is why we included some of those clips in the 9/11 in plain sight video, because the same thing happened. The live broadcasts told a completely different story than the prepared news that the rest of America received.
You're mentioning the bombs in the building and the sheriff's department showing up with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms.
Right.
To defuse.
They showed up. They had a bomb.
Exactly.
On the scene.
Live and recorded on the spot.
That's
they were
right.
There. They were there to defuse a bomb that was in the building, and there were multiple bombs in the building, and the building was blown from the inside. Inside out.
That's right, and they actually, as a matter of fact, Randall Heather, a terrorism expert, was on camera in the studio and made the statement, and I quote, "We actually have got defused bombs." Plural. They said that the one that went off was only one of four, and apparently the plan was to completely level the building, and the other three didn't go off.
Exactly, and this particular event is also the event that sparked a kind of a colleague of yours on the shortwave frequency, a very coarse-spoken, straightforward Alex Jones. I think the Oklahoma City event is what got him suspicious about official stories and how things go, and one of his presentations includes several minutes of the live TV coverage in Oklahoma City on April 19th, 1995.
And this is exactly why we told our listeners to put a tape in, because we knew that there is a very good possibility, if not a likelihood, that history would indeed repeat itself, and indeed it did. And that's why the video clips on 9/11 in plain sight are so very important. We implore people to get this video and to please make copies, give them away. We've got to somehow, you know, slap America in the face to wake them up from their stupor.
And it seems that America is encircled. There's an encampment that's encircling our country of people who do not live here, who have less. The information is not vetted as much. It's not filtered as much, and they are given the opportunity to not be labeled as un-American or sympathizing with terrorism because they ask the tough questions. And they are standing around at this country now, all over this world, and with the feelings toward the United States foreign policy at this point is probably at one of its lowest points ever. And it's very ironic that they're riding this low, you know, this absolute low point, and using that as this launching pad for this very ridiculous freedom-spreading preemption.
We're hardly spreading freedom. If we look at what's happened since September 11th, freedom has basically been destroyed in this country. Yeah, there is a war on freedom, but it's not being waged by Osama or the Taliban. You know, our freedoms are not legislated away by these individuals. Our freedoms are legislated away by our senators, our Congress, and our president. And when you start taking your freedoms and liberties away, and when those people are elected officials who took oaths to protect those freedoms, that in my book is treason. And if we look at what's happened since then, I mean, we've got a war in Afghanistan, we've had a war in Iraq, and now we're looking at going at war in Iran, and everything is predicated on 9/11. And this is why what Joyce has been doing with her release of Beyond Treason. And by the way, we'd like to offer one of those as a giveaway also.
Thank you.
Let folks know what's been going on with the depleted uranium issue, because now we've got hundreds of thousands of innocent men, women, and children that have been killed over an illegal war, and the United States and Great Britain have contaminated the entire region for 4.5 billion years with depleted uranium. And this is even more atrocious than the 9/11 attack.
And no one who has had a real science course could look at any type of radioactive element and say it's safe. And you will have those who will downplay the effects of depleted uranium. And the agendas that they bring with them, in my opinion, are not connected to humanity. It's you know, you have this, it's a very heavy dust. And if it burns and explodes, it does travel in the air. And if it gets into your system, if it gets past that barrier into your body, you're in trouble. You are definitely in trouble. And I think Joyce is probably on the ball as far as the occurrences of cancer in the United States. I read something briefly the other day. I need to get back to it because I kind of forgot some of what the person had said. But he was doing a comparison between the entire year of 2005 and the first 3 months of 2006 as far as lung cancer occurrences. If I'm not mistaken, it was 172,000 cases of lung cancer in the United States in 2005. Or 175,000, a similar number in the first few months of 2006. I need to dig that up again and see if I can cross-reference that and check on the validity of that particular story. But it does tie into depleted uranium being scattered across this planet. If anything is going to cause an increase in the occurrences of cancer, it's the mutations that occur from being exposed to levels of radiation. Of course, there are different types of radiation, but I'll get back into that because that was a curiosity at that point. I want to see, maybe do a CDC check and see what they say about the number of cancer incidences in this country this year compared to last year.
You know, the whole idea of where we are right now with respect to two illegal wars and destroying a continent or destroying a country is we're looking at now the devastation of the next seven generations of DNA and the troops that are serving over there as well as the people that are living there. And I think that when we take a very hard look at the negligence that has gone on with the U.S. military by using depleted uranium, number one, and then not providing them the appropriate filters and the appropriate respirators, which, I mean, there's no way that you can wear a respirator 24 hours a day, and that's what it would require for every person in Iraq right now. So I think what we're seeing is basically a devastation of this country by design. Because as is being talked about now, there are ways to undo the radiation, that there are possibly possible ways that they can mitigate this radiation. So, you know, there has to be some reason why they don't care at all that they're doing this. Because everything that's being used in Iraq right now, from the 7.62 NATO round all the way up to the 5,000-pound bunker busters, pretty much carries depleted uranium. I mean, not all the shells and not all the munitions. There's some conventional munitions. But when you look at the M1A1 main battle tank or the Bradley fighting vehicle with the 120-millimeter shells, or you look at the A-10 aircraft, the Warthog, that Gatling gun that shoots out 4,000 rounds of 30-millimeter shells per minute. 4,000 rounds.
And you're saying the DU shells?
Correct.
Yes, okay.
And the DU shells, which are featured on Beyond Treason, you can actually see an A-10 shell. And you will see there a pilot, a lieutenant colonel pilot from Whiteman Air Force Base, who is holding a DU round. Now, the public relations people were around him, and he did not realize where his picture was going to end up, I can assure you. And the Department of Defense is not very happy with me, but then they haven't been happy with me in the last 15 years either, so it doesn't make any difference. But if you look at the documentary Beyond Treason, and by the way, we give a copy away free, so if anybody wants to jump to the foreground and say that we're doing this for the money, we're giving away 10,000 copies at no charge to veterans.
Excellent. Well, I think what we'll do here, Joyce, before the close of the top of the hour, if it's okay with you, we may do one more quick trivia thing, and whoever jumps in first can also get a copy of that.
Sure.
Rather than excellent.
Yeah, I want to jump in and underline the idea that that we are giving away 10,000 copies free to any veteran who simply asks for it. Any branch of service, either active duty or retired, whatever, all we ask is they ask for it, and they can fax us. All we ask is some sort of proof of service, DD-214 or something, you know, that shows that they were in the service. Please blot out the Social Security. We don't want any type of identity theft possibility. But just fax us, and here's the fax number. It's 573-378-5998. Again, 573-378-5998, and we will send it to you, no charge. We pay the postage. We're giving away 10,000 of these things.
I went ahead and made sure to put that number in text in the room for those who want to jot that down. That is a very noble thing to do.
Well, and it's because they deserve it. Because
exactly.
There are a lot of veterans that have been experiencing bizarre symptoms, untoward problems ever since they served, and they don't know why. And the question is, why are so many people having the same problems? Well, after you look at Beyond Treason and you see the experiments done over the past 50 years, the past 50 years worth of experiments on our military, everything from the atomic veterans up to the Gulf War veterans and Gulf War II, you're going to understand why these people are sick, why they need treatment, why they need compensation, and why they're not getting it. So I really do encourage anybody, especially that's getting ready to join the military, to get this. Show it to whoever it is that's getting ready to join, whether it's your child or your parent or whatever else, and just say, just look at this. And if you still want to join the military, that's fine.
And as a reminder, that number you said was 573-378-5998 for the veterans to call in and get a free copy of Beyond Treason.
Well, they can fax it in.
Fax it in,
to that,
yes.
Phone number, and yes, we will get it. They can go to beyondtreason.com, and it will tell them how to get it also. The bottom line is we want them to get it. Now, there's a DVD and a CD-ROM. And now the CD-ROM does not go to the veterans because a lot of them don't have computers, but there is a CD-ROM on the package that when you purchase it. The CD-ROM has about half the size of an encyclopedia of documents that the government would just assume you not see. These are formerly classified documents and FOIA documents that we have collected that the world needs to take a look at.
And, George, that makes me think of the future classified documents that are going to point out the occurrences of these chemtrails as well, what they're doing currently over the civilian populations. The two of you, it has been absolutely wonderful to have you as guests this evening. We have about 15 minutes to go. We in the chat room currently, there are those who have formulated some questions for the two of you. Time will be a little bit tight. So what we're going to do, I want to take a 30-second break, and when we come back, I'll share with you some of the questions in the room. And those who have questions, you can go ahead and PM them to me or post them in the room. I'll freeze the text and I'll read the questions. So we're going to take a 30-second break, and we'll be right back with our guest right after this. So hang tight. We'll be right back.
Alfonso Falaise works two jobs to support his family. He also pays high rent in a neighborhood plagued with drugs and crime. The family needed to move to a safer place, so they applied for a Habitat for Humanity house. Now Habitat for Humanity is helping the Falaise family build a simple, decent, and safe home. A home they'll buy with a no-profit and zero-interest mortgage. Habitat for Humanity. Building homes, changing lives. Support the work in your community. Visit Habitat.org.
Welcome back. Dave, there's a question in the room from a person. Well, let me go ahead and put a stop to this. Hang on just a second. There's a person in the room who posted this question that jumped out at me, wanting to know if you have seen a video that is entitled In Plain Sight Debunked, if you've been aware of that there is actually that what you would expect this to occur, but that was the first question.
Yeah, I have seen that, and I find it rather curious that these people that do all this research, they love to sling their arrows from behind rocks and attack the messenger, and yet when they're doing this research, they don't bother contacting the person that they're about to do a critique on. If I thought somebody had done bad work or was trying to deceive somebody, I would make every attempt to contact them and say, hey, look, I got a little problem with this thing that you brought up here. Now, one of the things that the debunking video brings up was the issue about whether or not there were photographs of wreckage at the Pentagon. And they, as an example, they show the photograph of a wheel rim. Now, I don't know, have you seen that photograph of the rim that they say was from a landing gear?
Yeah, the one that's about maybe 30 inches in diameter?
Yeah, something like that,
yeah.
And then right next to it, they show a photograph of the landing gear of a 757. Okay, now they've done this also at the website whatreallyhappened.com. And so they say, here's the proof. You know, here's a photo of the rim that they saw, the photograph of the rim at the Pentagon that they found, and here's a picture of the landing gear. See, they match. But you see, if you can count to 10, they don't match. As an example, when you look at the rim of the photograph of the rim as of the Pentagon, count the holes in the rim. There are 8 holes. Then you look at the photograph of a 757 wheel, and there are 10 holes. So, in fact, they don't match. Now, I don't know what hit the Pentagon. And according to all the military experts, and again, one of the people that we've spoken with, as a matter of fact, let me play a clip for you here.
Okay.
I have in my computer, patched into the board here, a portion of an interview that we did with Major General Albert Stubblebein. Now, General Stubblebein was 30 years in charge of photo analysis at the Pentagon. This man is where the buck stops. Okay. Now, Admiral Stubblebein has seen our video, and I'm just going through my files here. Let me see. Maybe Joyce can spot it before I do. Here, Stubblebein, where is it? It's in here someplace. But anyway, the point here is that General Stubblebein agrees that it could not have been a plane. As I say, I'm not finding it in this file. I'll have to look someplace else. But the point here is that if this man has been at the Pentagon for 30 years in photo analysis, and he analyzed the photos, and he came back with the same doggone thing. Okay, I found it. Let's see if we can open this up.
Okay.
I'll let you listen to the soundtrack of this clip. Here it is. Major General Albert Stubblebein in regard to the plane that or whatever hit the Pentagon.
One of my experiences in the Army was being in charge of the Army's imagery interpretation for scientific and technical intelligence during the Cold War. I measured pieces of Soviet equipment from photographs. It was my job. I look at the hole in the Pentagon, and I look at the size of an airplane that was supposed to have hit the Pentagon, and I said, the plane does that hole. So what did hit the Pentagon? What hit it? Where is it? What's going on?
And I want to mention that General Stubblebine was not very happy. He wasn't mad at me. He was mad because he knows that we've all been deceived. Now, again, if some of these people want to, quote-unquote, debunk 9/11 in plain sight, well, then let's do it with real experts, okay? Not because somebody says so, and not to shoot slings and arrows from behind rocks, and not to do so without at least making an attempt to contact the person that they're going to rip apart.
Exactly. Oh, I have another question. We're starting to run a little short on time, about 9 minutes left. This is from one of the people in the room. Let me pull this up. I enjoyed this question. This is from Anami Shanti. Anami Shanti wants to know, are the two of you aware of any government agents wiretapping you or following your movements at this time?
Well, no, I don't know of any. I certainly expect that it's probably going on, but I don't know of anything that I could put my finger on. I just don't even think about it, to tell you the truth, because I would spend my time being in a defensive position, and I'm not going to do that. I mean, we've had some things happen to us, obviously, that were not fun to experience, and I know that we're not because I was, they had to have been caused. I mean, let me give you an example that I went in to purchase a used RV one time when Dave and I were traveling around the country, and the guy asked me if I had a credit report that was okay, and I said, sure. I said, I've only got two late pays in 10 years. He came out with a stack of papers, and he said, lady, you're about ready to be arrested. And lo and behold, I found out for the first time that I had 16 credit cards, 4 bank loans, and a federal bankruptcy against my name that I knew nothing about.
Identity theft.
So,
wow.
Yeah, in a heartbeat, and it was over $100,000. The Secret Service was called in, and they said, nobody's bleeding, and they walked out, and I had to go into federal court and prove that I was Joyce Riley and that I didn't have a federal bankruptcy. But think about that. How can you have a Social Security number with a federal bankruptcy on it and you not even know about it? And sure enough, it was there. So I had
none of that ever surprises me. And another thing, too, is that my take on that is let them listen. Let's educate them. Let them
Absolutely.
Listen.
Absolutely. I have nothing to hide.
Absolutely. Let them listen. Maybe we can teach them something. Maybe we can turn this one renegade official person toward the direction of truth and get the inside game on this situation and actually bring some sense of justice to this world. We are so imbalanced at this point. This world is at the tipping point. Those who are in denial of this tipping point are dragging along the coattails of those who are making the money with war. They love preemption. They love resource acquisition. And there's nothing we're going to be able to do to sway some people from that reality. The others who are quiet in their, desperately quiet about it, I think the fear is causing them to hold back on really wanting to know. I'm looking through the text in the rooms and for another question. It's kind of zipping by pretty quick. There's a lot of busy activity in this chat room. Hopefully at some point, if we can actually tweak this, the operation that we've got going on here, where the people could actually hear, you could hear the people talking, we'd love to have you two back at some point when we get that capability, so you can really, we can show you exactly what we're intending to do with this particular type of broadcast, to bring in different points of view, people who have information at their fingertips with the internet, and those who buy hard copy books and read up on some of these situations, and they can bring their voice to the forum, and they can be totally unvetted, no second, 7 second delay, and they can ask the important questions to get to some sense of truth. At this point, as I mentioned a second ago, the text is really busy here, so I'm trying to catch a question. Oh, I'm having a little bit of a struggle. Oh, here's the question. Massachusetts asked many people are talking about Palestinians cheering in the street after the planes crashed, yet Fox News has a documentary implicating Israelis, and they want to know if you could comment on that. Do you remember the Fox News four-part series? Britt Hume actually hosted that particular program. Do you remember that one?
No. Which series was this?
The Britt Hume, Carl Cameron did a four-part series on the roundup of the Israeli spies pretending to be art students in the United States in the summer of 2001. I think there may have been about 100 of them.
Well,
Fox,
I remember that way in the back of my memory banks, but I'm not I don't have enough information.
Well, then I would recommend that you maybe check into that. Those videos are available. Actual videos of those news broadcasts are available online. They've been removed from the Fox website, but there are people who captured those, and you can check out that four part series for yourself. It does beg several more questions on exactly what that operation was about. What were they doing? They were sent home mostly. Quietly after dark. It's a typical response that we run into as far as that kind of stuff goes. We are starting to get very close to the end time at the top of the hour, and we got about four more minutes. I want to thank both Dave and Joyce, and commend you for a job well done. Good work. Stay in there, and do not let people change your direction at this point. Joyce Riley, David Von Kleist, it's been a real pleasure to have you here this evening. And the people in the text version of this program I know for a fact that they've thoroughly enjoyed this presentation. I want to thank you.
Well, thank you, and I do hope that everybody continues to become a committee of one and find your own area of emphasis that you need to be involved in and get active regardless of what it is, just like what you're doing right now. So we all have a role to play. You know, we were all born to be at this point in time in our lives to be here. And so we need to find out what that purpose is and magnify it.
And Dave, you have some closing words for our audience here this evening?
Well, my concern is that folks have somehow got to really, really understand what it means when you say united we stand and divided we fall. There's too many people that are bickering and finger-pointing, and sometimes we all get sucked into that. I've gotten sucked into it as well. But we've got to somehow come together, as John Lennon said, and get by our differences, because, you know, it doesn't make any difference what side of the political spectrum you sit on, whether you're pro-life or pro-choice or pro-gun control, or if you're a homophobe or you're for gay rights. It doesn't make any bit of difference at all, because if the powers that be have their new world order and their one world government, it won't make a hill of beans difference what you think on any issue. So let's get together and stop the monster. As Steppenwolf sang about 35 years ago on the cover album Monster, let's stop this monster, and once we've defeated it once and for all, then we can go back to our petty bickering and arguing,
right,
finger-pointing.
I also invite those who search Internet, get on Google or the other search engines, to look up a speech from Abraham Lincoln in 1838. He basically covers the whole concept of the America is not invadable, and if America ever falls prey to any kind of problems, it's going to be from the inside out. Very telling words. 1838. Just do a search of Abraham Lincoln 1838 speech, and you could add that to your collection too, as well too, Dave. It's very, very telling for today's world what Abraham Lincoln had to say, even way back before he became the President of the United States.
Yep.
We have reached that point in time where we need to close the program. We have Annie DeFranco, who's ready to sing the farewell song for this evening. Once again, I want to thank both of our guests very much, Joyce Riley, David Von Kleist. They have a radio show called The Power Hour. And how can they tune into that, Dave, Joyce?
You can go to www.thepowerhour.com. You can also visit beyondtreason.com, 911inplainsight.com, and gulfwarvets.com.
Excellent. And do you think it's possible, maybe if we can work on and improve the quality of the presentation here, where the people in the room can speak back, do you think it's possible later on in time we could have you two back?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Thank you so very much.
Excellent. We're going to go ahead and close the program, everyone, and I want to thank everyone for showing up here in this virtual Pal Talk auditorium. You can, if you are listening to a recording of this program, you can go to www.paltalk.com. I recommend Dave and Joyce you do that as well. You can check it out. And you can join us. All you need is speakers and a mic and an internet connection, and you can get in forums with like-minded or opposite-minded people, and you can debate the differences of the reality that's being presented to us in this crazy world. I'm going to go ahead and close the show. Thanks, everyone, for coming in. Dave, Joyce, it's been a pleasure. Hopefully we can talk to you again soon, and I want to say good night to everyone. Good night.
One bright sunny morning, in the shadow of the city's wall, by the relief from the fair, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering how this land was made for you. Yeah, this land was made for you and me.